WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252DR Oshkosh,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. With less than 2 weeks left until Election Day, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are planning their final pitches to voters. Donald Trump says he will hold a rally at New York's Madison Square Garden this Sunday. And next Tuesday, 1 week out from the election, Kamala Harris is planning a big speech.
She'll be giving a major address outlining her closing argument to the American people, speaking on the National Mall at the exact same site where Donald Trump addressed his supporters and urged them to march to the Capitol on January 6th. Harris using the symbolic site to argue it's time to turn the page on Trump.
ABC's Mary Bruce. The Justice Department is warning Elon Musk that his daily million-dollar giveaways to registered voters may be a violation of election law. A day after Boeing announced it had lost $6 billion in the third quarter, its striking union machinists rejected an offer from the plane maker, meaning they are still off the job. The first lawsuit has now been filed over the McDonald's quarter pounder E. coli outbreak. This is ABC News. Attacks on a Democratic Party office in Arizona over the last few weeks, leading to an arrest on terror charges. ABC's Alex Stone has the details.
Jeffrey Kelly is 60 years old and accused of hanging bags of white powder from political signs lined with razor blades in Phoenix. And he's accused of three shootings targeting a DNC office in Tempe in the last couple of weeks. Charges against Kelly include terrorism. In his home, the ATF allegedly found over 120 guns, 250,000 rounds of ammunition, body armor, grenade launcher, and other weapon-related items. Additional charges are expected. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The search has been suspended for a 66-year-old woman who fell from a Taylor Swift-themed cruise about 20 miles off the Bahamas. She went overboard on Tuesday night. A promising college quarterback is giving up football. North Carolina State's Grayson McCall says he's leaving the sport 3 weeks after suffering his latest concussion. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris. A better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Much of the Badger State is still in high fire danger. In fact, in some parts of central and northeastern Wisconsin, the risk is now considered very high. Here's Brittany Merlot.
There have been 72 wildfires across Wisconsin in the past week, burning a total of 925 acres. Most of them were started by equipment like mowing operations, RVs, and more. But burning debris, even when it's been banned, has still been happening. Don't do it. One spark, even as small as a cigarette butt, can start a fire.
We're getting into cold and flu season. Extra hand washing and dry air can lead some to develop eczema. Dr. Abigail Tao, a Spirus dermatologist.
People with eczema tend to have more inflammation at the skin layer. So it presents with dry, itchy, scaly, rashy skin.
She says it's critical to take care of that dry skin. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
The Bucks win their season opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 124-109 win over the 76ers in Philadelphia. Damian Lillard had 30 points and was asked, did the Bucks play better on defense?
Yeah, I think especially when it came down to the paint. You know, Brooke was a beast. Giannis was a beast protecting the paint. That's what we talked about, our base defense of just getting stops and protecting the paint like we want to. I thought, you know, our bigs did a great job of that.
Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
It was great. The game plan was exactly what we wanted.
The Bucks host the Chicago Chicago Bulls tomorrow night. College football, the Badgers getting ready to host the number 3 ranked Nittany Lions of Penn State. Game time 6:30 at Camp Randall Stadium Saturday night. NFL, the Packers have former Jets head coach and 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh evaluating the offense. I asked quarterback Jordan Love, can it help?
Yeah, I think it helps. I mean, having a defensive, you know, mind talking offense and helping us, you know, with things that we might be able to see, it helps.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. For the overnight, we'll see clear skies as temperatures drop to the middle 30s by sunrise. Our winds will be light. On your Thursday, quite a bit of sunshine, but then some clouds a little later in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 60s, gusty south winds, showers Thursday night. Right now, it's 37.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Host of Rational Revolution, Mark Becker, in with a big announcement, and friend of the show, Matt Flynn, looking at the day's headlines. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number 2 of Mino the Mayor, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS. And, of course, the Civic Media app worldwide. As I mentioned earlier, it is chilly out there. You got the kids going to the bus stops, man. Got to put on the winter coat today. First time. 33 in Green Bay, 38 in Appleton, 36 in Oshkosh. It's supposed to be fairly nice this weekend, though. Isn't it, Todd, or what? How is it shaping?
I'm not sure, Jim. Do you know?
Yeah, it is. It's going to be, we're going to be in the 60s. Well, 56. 60. We'll hit 60 on Sunday. And
that's all right. I'm okay with that.
Totally okay with that.
Up to the 70s on Tuesday.
Wow.
So we keep saying get the projects done. This is another weekend to get the projects done.
I'll tell you one thing.
You're a yard work guy.
I was working outside this weekend on a couple of projects, a few leaves dropping, you know. I got home yesterday after the show. My whole yard is leaves. Like, within those 2 days, all down.
Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of people, since we've been talking about, people send me a lot of pictures from the UP. It looks like it is absolute peak right now, but in a week it could be, you know, once get those winds and rain and everything like that, that just knocks right down. But what an unbelievable year they've had up there for the color. Just beyond belief.
Yeah, and I see no rain till maybe Wednesday.
That's not good, though. Drought.
I don't know. Do people really, I mean, we talk about, do people really, I don't know.
Care? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I think from worrying about the farmers and all that kind of stuff, yes.
But boy, it's nice when it's nice out. I'm just, maybe we got to think more about that. I love nice weather, you know? What's nice when it's nice out?
Simplistic terms.
Well, it is. It's like, you know, if it's nice out, I said, oh, God, I wish it would rain. We need rain. I just wish it would rain. And we've got sunshine, 65 the next 5 days. I wish it would rain.
I know.
Do you think like that, Todd?
But people have cabins, and this time of year, there's nothing better than having a fire outside your cabin.
Yeah.
And in the UP, there's a ban. You can't have any fires whatsoever.
Not even in one of those fire pits?
Open flames, they're saying.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I burned a little wood in my fire pit at home this weekend, and I was thinking, man, maybe I shouldn't do this, you know? But I had some junk I had to get rid of.
Yeah.
Put
it in the fire.
And then you're in your yard. You're not like out in the country type of thing. Are you?
No.
Where are you?
No. I'm in town.
We know nothing about
it. I live in Oshkosh, right?
And they allow that? You can have open fires?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, they just got rid of the permit. You still have to have a permit to have a fire in your yard, but you don't have to pay for it anymore. It used to be like $25 for the season or whatever. They
really?
Took those
I've never
away.
Gotten a permit. I don't think Green Bay has that.
No, I don't. I would get the fire chief on here.
The only thing they always said, it's got to be code, I want to say, is 15 feet from a wall.
It's got to be further.
Than that? I thought that's what it was for Green Bay, 15 feet. Or maybe that was Ledgeville I had, because I checked it out one time.
15 feet from, that's not very far. I mean, a spark could go 15 feet. Wow. I don't know what it is for Green Bay. We should find that out. But
15 feet is exactly what a free throw is in basketball. So I always base it on that. That's just my way of looking at things. Sense. Yeah.
I just got a letter. So I'm going to talk about this on my show, that Lean Local. But the when we focus our first Sundays on the NFL draft, I just got a letter from the city. And I talked to them. They were super friendly about it. But we need to pay now for if we have people parking on our lot. And we didn't have that before, right?
Right.
But in this NFL draft, I think people, like, they raised the parking. I mean, the camping site fees. And I just think people are all sniffing money. But that's all right.
It's called gouging.
Well, gouging, it's called capitalism, but is not capitalism.
Did you just use the term, people are sniffing money? As in other people?
I am. We raised the rates for the NFL draft. But I think there's a difference, right? Just like I teach, between capitalism and socialism. And capitalism is the private sector. It's the individuals. And I think we should have that opportunity. I don't think the government should raise fees during that time. I don't, but whatever, they're doing it. And
got another text here. I took my first driver's test in a 1967 Cadillac DeVille big boat.
That's 19 feet, right? I mean, those things are huge.
So I took my test in Green Bay, but had to parallel park on a one-way street. Obviously, I did not pass.
Okay.
Did you guys pass the first time?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I did.
I was nervous. I remember I was nervous. Those guys were no-nonsense guys back then. Dude.
I was sweating. In fact, he said, you were a little too nervous. He goes, you just passed.
Right? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took my test July 10th at 10:20. I remember that. You know, and I was so nervous. And it was Maxwell Street days in Manitowoc. And that's like the days where people are all outdoor vendors shopping. There were so many people walking. The guy goes, take a left here. And I'm like, there are a lot of people walking on the sidewalk. And I think he liked that answer. So we had to wait. And then the light's kind of yellow. But you're kind of in the intersection. They tell you, they teach you that, to drive into the intersection.
Yeah,
you know, if it's green.
A little bit, yep.
But, like, it was yellow, orange, getting on red when I turned. But there was just a lot of people. It's like, holy mackerel. But anyway, I was glad I passed.
I will say this. So if you learn on a stick, like I did, and then you go to the automatic, it seems so much easier. I mean, it just takes away so much pressure of driving with a clutch in all the time.
Right, well, you're nervous, and then your foot's on the clutch, and especially if they make you, you know, park on a hill, and then you got it up and away with the wheels, like your teacher told you. Right, the wheels go away. If you're up on the hill, down, you're what?
Yeah, I'm thinking about my dad and just getting so mad at me because I kept killing the engine, especially parking.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting there basically tearing up because I felt so bad about it. But
we were talking last night about, you know, like we are right now, about taking your driver's test. And I think that when you look at a family, I think that's kind of the role of the dad to teach your kid how to drive. Now, sometimes the mothers do it. But in our house, my dad taught us. And in my house, I taught my kids. But my last daughter, she wasn't a very good driver, for one. And she made me nervous. And, you know, it's easier if kids, I don't know. And I was working hard, and I'd come home, and Dad, we got to go driving. I'm like, oh, I don't want to. I got so stressed out. So I called my brother, and I'm like, hey, look, cut your deal. You teach my kid how to drive, I'll pay you $10 an hour. And if she passes the first time, I'll give you $100. And he did that. He took her out to Kmart. Well, there's not Kmart anymore, but, you know, to parallel park between shopping carts, you know, so you don't bang up the car.
That's a good idea, yeah.
To drive out in the industrial parks is great on a Sunday. There's nobody out there if you drive on 43, and that's a great place to learn. Anyway, he did all that, and she's a good driver now, but that's an effort to teach someone how to drive. And, like, I drove with her last night. She, obviously, her dad did a pretty good job because she was driving. She'll pass her test today, but that's just a big part of people's lives, and I just, you know.
But you're right. Whoever,
you remember that.
Todd, or you said it, or whatever. Once you got that license, it's like the world just changed.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like being old enough to gamble. It just opens up a whole new world for you.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Thing.
You too?
Hey, I was talking to a guy. You know how we go out to the casino. I talked to the guy. He bet $200 if, what were the odds were pretty high, if Denver would win 5 games.
Every team can do that. I think the Packers was like 8 or 9 or something.
So, yeah, he's going to win $600. That's a good bet.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, the good thing is, the good thing is you can win that bet before the that's why I like betting on halftime scores.
Yeah.
Because you can have a win before the game is
you
over.
Go to bed.
Yeah. So that's what I like doing too. But those are good bets, some of them. I mean, I think the Packers has always been really consistently between 8, 9, 10 every single year. So it's kind of like one of those things where you don't feel like, you know what I mean? It's always pretty much that same thing, which is a good thing that the Packers have been consistently good. But some of those teams, yeah, you can get some pretty phenomenal odds on them.
I wish I would have known about that.
Yeah.
Like five There's, games? Did Denver win 5 games? I mean, there's only played about 7.
I think they've got 3.
Okay.
3 wins?
I mean, come on.
But here's, okay, there are, okay, what we do is so scratching the surface of what you can actually bet on. Wait. It's my, like an NBA started last night. They've got all those things. You could take every player on that team, every player on every roster in the NBA, you can bet on for every single game. You can bet how many minutes this guy is going to play over or under, how many points he's going to score over or under. And that's why that guy got kicked out of the league. He was betting on himself that he was going to play 4 minutes. Okay.
Wow.
And he was in there for like 2 minutes and he's, oh man, I don't feel good. I'm sick. And takes himself out of the game and doesn't play again. And there had been huge bets. Like he told all his buddies this and he's kicked out of the NBA because of that. Yeah.
Wow. Well, but, he made a couple mistakes there, but one is telling all his buddies.
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
but you got to do that because if they are so good, the University of Alabama baseball, the head baseball coach at the University of Alabama, where that's a major sport, he got fired because his starting pitcher came to him that day and said, "Coach, my arm just doesn't feel good." You know, something along those lines. And he put in kind of a scrub, so to speak, you know, kind of a surprise, and called, like, I want to say his brother or his brother-in-law or somebody, and the guy put down like $50,000 on that one game. And Vegas is, they have such a network of each other. What have you got that stands out that's unusual? So you got to be really careful in doing that. Yeah. So that's where I spread out. I only do $10 here, another 10 over there, and 10 here.
It can get, you know, you win, and it's like, well, I'll go 20 on this game.
Yeah, what's up with this guy? He's got some inside info. Right. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll stay away from gambling. I do want to,
Okay.
I mean, for our listeners.
Kids, don't drink.
Drive the speed limit and don't gamble.
That's public service. It's
right.
Like, well, it's like letting her use his car this morning. Now he's done his good deed.
I can say whatever I want now.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's fun to do. And that's, if it's just recreational, like if you're going to go to a movie and spend $10, you can go to a casino and spend $10. But no more. All right. Anyway, moving on. It's going to be interesting this, and look, we're following Oshkosh, Appleton, and I think that what they got going on in Appleton with that library is awesome. I mean, kudos to everybody. I know Jake's really leading that, but that's been 15 years they've been working on that. Oshkosh has some cool stuff going on, but we're going to follow a little bit closer what's going on in Greater Green Bay. You know, that Packer statue, the whole lease, this public market Brian's talking about. You know, finally things are starting to, you know, pick up a little bit. So
what are the options at this point with the statues, with the Heritage Trail? Whatever it's called. What do you call it? What's it actually called? Is it a plaza in itself?
I'm not sure.
I think it's called Heritage Plaza.
Okay.
And so there's a lawsuit. I mean, the Packers, the city of Green Bay said, you know, well, yeah, we're Mr. Developer. We own that parking lot. And he went and measured it and said, well, this is what we're going to build. We need every square inch. It's a tight spot. They're like, okay. The statue's got to move. Okay. I'm not sure it happened that easy. Maybe they said, can you work around the statues? And the guy said, no. Okay. It's like I used to say to people who work for me when they came back, they said no. It's like, well, did they say no or hell no? Because there's a difference. So anyway, they went, I guess I talked to Eric about it, and they need every square inch of that.
So do you guys think the two the lease with the Packers and this are somehow combined? Like they're playing hardball?
It's kind of weird timing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very weird timing. Very. And this is, I just want to say, as someone who, you know, worked for the city for, you know.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM Oshkosh Air Support.
Hello. John Zarbano here, and I'm running to represent you in Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. I want to evict Glenn Grothman from Congress, and I need your help. Wisconsin now has fair election maps, yet many people may not participate this November because they don't register. I'm speaking now directly to the 100,000 unregistered citizens of our district. Your voice matters. You can register to vote at your clerk's office or online at myvote.wi.gov and click register to vote. Your vote counts. If you care about women's rights, if you care about working people getting a living wage, if you care about clean air, clean water, our very planet, vote. Vote like your democracy depends on it. I'm John Zarbano, and I approve this message.
Paid for by John Zarbano for Congress.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
That's what I'm looking at.
That's but, just to placate you. Okay.
Whatever. But it was one of those situations where it's like...
We had a lot of advisory boards.
Well, you would sit there and some of these people would come out with just... It's like, you know what we should do? We need to move Lambeau Field down on the corner of Ashland. It's like... Okay, well, that's not going to happen. Yeah. Well, here's the reason I think we should move. And it's like, we're not getting too far with this.
I think advisory boards are important because they kind of feed up into the board.
Advisory board. Yeah.
But that probably was, Ted probably set that up to feed into the stadium board. The stadium board has some authority. That's what Bill was talking about. That's three members of the county, three members of the city, and one member of a Ashwaubenon. And probably for him to bring good input, he put together an advisory board.
Yes.
And that's smart to do that. I mean, it really is. And, you know, Bellin's, St. Vincent's got an advisory board. I served on that for years. And, you know, what are the people thinking? And because you don't have time to do all that. You need people to feed you that are honest, that are good, that are kind of have their ear to the ground. An advisory board obviously didn't happen with this statue. I don't think it happened with this lease. Nor should that lease be an advisory board project because it's so complicated. But other stuff, I think, you know, locations of things, should we put a park here? Should we put a park there? Yeah, you want people to advise you on that stuff. I mean, it just makes for better government.
But it is, you know, another thing I remember, though, going back in time, what year was it, 2003? What year was the big one where Bob Harlan literally went and knocked on doors?
Two.
And I remember they would host, like, gatherings at, like, the stadium view and the meeting. Those were... I'll tell you what, those got emotional.
I remember that like yesterday. People were not opposed to the Packers, and I think it was portrayed like they were, the people who were against it. They were against the fact that the Packers are a statewide team. Tommy Thompson came up here and goes, you know, he totally supported this thing. This is, you know, green and gold, and I'm not talking Packer colors. I'm talking greenbacks and gold nuggets, you know. It's like, okay, but then let's build this thing. And it wasn't that. It was $295 million. $160 million came from the taxpayer. And they, and then they're like, okay, here's the plan. Brown County's going to pay for it. It's like, what? I mean, Outagamie benefits from this thing. Manitowoc County benefits. And, you know, it's like, wait a minute. I don't know about that. I mean, maybe we should have more participation. Or maybe the state, you know, they fly up here and give this great speech and...
See ya.
It's okay.
It's our team when the Packers are doing good. It's your team, Green Bay, but you need the money.
And there was a lot of stuff proposed. Talk about an advisory council, but our beer tax is like hasn't been changed in like, I don't know, 40 years. It's really low. And raise that by $2 per barrel or quarter barrel, however they do that. So there was a lot of ways for the state to help pay for this. And it was all discounted except for Brown County. That was the pushback. It wasn't like we don't like the Packers, we don't appreciate the Packers, we don't love the Packers. Everybody in that room loved the Packers. It was the financing mechanism. And I was one of the people that were like, we could do better. But it went the way they wanted it to, and it worked out fine, and now everybody's happy. But, you know, again, I just think something like that is statewide.
Got a text here. Right now there are 301 bets on the Thursday night football game tonight. 301 possible bets you can make. Packers win total this year was 10.5.
Ooh, that's a lot.
If you want, that's a lot. If you want to bet at the start of the year. Yeah. 301 bets on tonight's game. Is that unbelievable when you think about that? How they've broken that down into
color of shoelaces. The, what was it? Right? The,
I can never pronounce this word right. Minutiae?
Minutiae.
Minutiae.
Yeah.
How they break it down into the minutiae is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. Two teams, 1 hour.
Yeah.
300 different scenarios.
I mean, that's why these guys, I mean, and I've been reading articles on it. A lot of young guys are really into just sitting there with their phone during the course of a game. Ooh, I lost that quarter or lost that whatever. I'm going to chase, you know, keep betting and betting and betting. I mean, you just sit right there with your phone and make bets as the game's going on. That seems like too easy. That's like too something. Yeah.
I don't think that's why football was designed. It was more for enjoyment. That would be very, very stressful if you, like, I just like the over-under, I love betting that. And I always bet the over because that makes me interested in the game. I hope everybody scores points.
Yeah.
That's
Bill Wyman. You got Bill what, from the Rolling Stones?
Rolling Stones.
88?
88 today.
Wow. I thought that was somebody. Is he still performing?
I'm not sure.
That's pretty incredible. Okay, Drake. What's the big deal with Drake? Why is he so popular? I couldn't name a song he sings.
You probably would know
him. But I always see him at NBA games. He's always on the sidelines at NBA games.
Yeah. Well, you know. He's got a lot of hits, and a lot of people like him, but a lot of people think he's kind of a wussy. And then he gets into these fights with other musicians and rappers and artists and all that.
Was that Kendrick Lamar thing or something?
I think it was between him and Drake, I think.
Okay.
Please don't quote me on that, because it's a genre of music I like, but I don't follow.
All right. What would it be considered? I mean, is it like rap or like whatever?
I don't know if it's rap.
Or is rap even a term anymore?
Pop. I don't know.
All right. But, like, would our old station play his stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Probably, like, twice an hour.
Yeah. The same song.
Yep.
Yeah, I hear that. Okay. Well, whatever. But anyway, talk about the Packers whole thing. I mean, I've covered the team since 1984. And through a lot of, I mean, when I hear it was terrible covering the team. I shouldn't say that. The guys were great. But, man, they had the arrests and cocaine and the Mossy Cade and the even James Loft. I mean, just there was, you know what I mean? And Sports Illustrated did that article about nobody wants to play in Green Bay. Yep. So
I remember that.
I guess what I'm saying is, you know, these things, it seems, oh no, you know, we got angst between the Packers. Trust me, folks, unless you cover the Packers in the mid 80s, this is nothing.
That's where wisdom comes in and history. People would come and say, oh my God. And I'm like, look, we've been through much worse. We've been through much worse than this. And sometimes you got to remind students that this politically, we've been through worse. I mean, there was a guy, even on the Senate, I mean, there was somebody shot on the Senate floor. I mean, this is years and years ago, but I mean, come on. We'll get through this. I mean, it's one of those, this too shall pass. But, you know, right now, these are interesting times, and we're going to reflect on this. We're going to learn from it, and then we're going to be better when it comes up again, because something else will come up again.
But you mentioned earlier, like, people in line for voting and stuff like that, maybe a little angry out there and not very happy. I just wonder if people are, we're mad as hell, and we're not going to take anymore. I wonder if people are starting to feel that way in general about stuff.
I think so.
The headline in the paper today is early voting in Green Bay is out the door.
Yeah.
And then, I spent a little time in that building. I never remember the line being out the door.
So, really?
Yeah.
That's good. Hey, everybody should
even
vote.
Even on voting day?
I think so.
Election day?
I mean, don't you want people to vote, right? It's their job to do it. So if they're doing it, good. Whatever it
takes. That is true. And everybody's voting early, which is cool because it's in-person voting.
I got to work all day on voting day. I'm not going to be able to go, you know?
We should let kids have, like, bake sales or something, you know, make a little money on the side. They're standing in line. Hey, would you like a cookie?
A weed table?
For $8?
I think Brian Johnson might have brought us in some homemade brownies.
All right.
We're waiting on those there.
That's right.
Brian Johnson on Broadway. Coming up next.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Wisconsin, which produces 61% of the nation's cranberries, has faced some unique weather challenges this year. According to Grant Holly, executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association, this season has been quite a roller coaster.
So we had some hail damage at the very beginning of the season in the spring, and there were multiple farms that, according to the insurance pieces, I mean, they lost entire plants, and it was a bad time period. We also had a swath of hail that went through a couple weeks ago, close to the Black River Falls area. It missed our research station by only a mile, but there are some farms there that, from all reports coming back, they have total loss as well. We are lucky enough that if they do have processed cranberries, if they can typically get those cranberries to the processor within 24 hours, they're being turned into juice. And there's the damage itself is okay if they're basically being juiced at the time if they're getting hit by hail. So they're just being further juiced at the processor.
That's Grant Holly, the executive director for the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association, along with us. I'll have more agriculture news right after this.
I confess, I love to host a party. I love having people over. But when they come over, I want to leave a favorable impression with them, not just with the atmosphere, but the food. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here for Bavaria Sausage. So I went to Scott and I said, listen, I need something for a pretty good sized group in my backyard. And he set me up with their Berkey Brats. Now, I've talked about these before, but my guests talked about them through the whole event, telling me, man, Pam, these are great brats. Something different about these brats. They were asking me all kinds of questions, and I was happy to tell them what I knew about all the custom mixes that are being worked on right now at Bavaria Sausage. Now listen, you can experience the Berkey Brats yourself, but you've got to go to the retail location right now. Corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday 9 until 1, or shop all the great Bavaria Sausage flavors online. BavariaSausage.com, and get ready to amplify any event you're hosting. Bavaria Sausage.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your Thursday agribusiness news. Ethan Lulich of the Mawson FFA is one of our four finalists at the National FFA Convention for the American Star Award for Agricultural Placement. His supervised agricultural experience consisted of working on his family's business, Lulich Landscaping, LLC. At the beginning, Ethan's role was to assist with hauling plants, plant materials, and block pavers to the installation crew. And over time, Ethan's responsibilities have increased to operating machinery. The other award finalists hail from Oklahoma, California, and New York. Once again, congratulations to Ethan Lulich of the Mawson FFA for being a finalist. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Have you ever?
Reserve your tickets today for Blues, Brews, and Barbecue. Go to fishonmarinette.com to learn more.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. For the overnight, we'll see clear skies as temperatures drop to the middle 30s by sunrise. Our winds will be light. On your Thursday, quite a bit of sunshine, but then some clouds a little later in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 60s, gusty south winds, showers Thursday night. Right now, it's 37.
Get your tickets today for the premier fall event, Blues, Brews, and Barbecues in Marinette, Wisconsin. Featuring six elite barbecue chefs, award-winning craft beer, and two iconic blues musicians. Kicking off the night, Hall of Fame inductee Joe Moss. Following Joe Taranzo Cannon. Playing tunes from his current number one album, Shut Up and Play. November 2nd at the Community Rec, Blues, Brews, and Barbecues. Go to fishonmarinette.com and click on the pig for more information.
Supported by Travel Wisconsin.
Edgar Sawyer gave his home to the city of Oshkosh for the benefit of the public. In 1924, the Oshkosh Public Museum first opened its doors. The museum has grown since the 20s, including the addition of the Steiger Wing in the 80s, with expanded gallery spaces and dedicated archives. Be sure to check out the newly remodeled second floor with contemporary Native American art and Tiffany stained glass windows. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4:30. Plan your next visit this weekend at oshkoshmuseum.org.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS. On the app, broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street.
T.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a good-looking Thursday, 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WSS, and Civic Media app on Walk to Work Day. It's unofficially Walk to Work Day. Did you know that, Brian?
I drove.
Okay.
I would have.
Jim loaned out his car for somebody to take a driver's test with.
Then I didn't think it through. Got up this morning, I thought, I don't have a car.
Are you going to get it back?
920. We'll 920. She's driving over. So you got to pick me up at my house because I'm
going
to be back there.
APP for a Beamer going down the road.
She'll pass. Anyway, so it was kind of my walk to work. And it was a little cooler. It was 33 today.
It was.
I didn't pick the best day. So, and you live closer than I do, and you drove your car.
What's the next topic?
Anyway,
you ain't grilled on that.
Brian Johnson's in the house. As you know, Brian Johnson, one of the elected members to the Green Bay City Council. We elect 12 people, and then the council elects their own leader and leadership, and that's Brian Johnson, who's the president of the city council. So he's in on a lot of things, and you have a lot going on.
We do. It's been a busy week, but we're really excited about some of the progress that we're making on, you know, some of these big projects. They take a long time, and they take a lot of people, and they take a lot of resources, and so it was a big celebration.
And I've said this on this show before, but when the kids, we drive through a town, it's like, wow, this is an awesome town. That stuff just doesn't happen. Uh-huh. There, you look behind these buildings, these downtowns, it's like there are a lot of people who worked very, very hard to make this happen, and you're one of them. I brought you in here because you're the president of whatever you call your role on Broadway. And on Broadway's continues, and it's been 20, 25 years of trying to redevelop that area of the city, made a huge step yesterday. So I want to talk about the public market, and talk about that.
Yeah, it's a big project. We've been working on this since pre-pandemic. Pandemic delayed it a little bit, but we got it back on track afterwards. And, you know, we've had a lot of team members, board members, our capital campaign cabinet, excuse me, you know, who have all been working on this project very diligently.
I almost have a flashback when you say the term capital campaign when I worked on it and everything that comes into that. But go ahead.
Well, they're hard, right? You have to find the people that are really passionate about your project, and not everybody, you know, shares that same vision and passion. And you've got to find a way to articulate that and get folks on board.
And what is the vision and passion of the public market? Well, what's the vision?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things we're trying to achieve with this project, but you know, as we set out to solve a problem, right? That's how most of these projects start. And for us, it was, you know, really a catalyst project on the Near West Side that would continue to drive development, that would bring more people into the Broadway district. Those are customers that visit our other shops and stores. They extend their stay. They spend more money. That was really the objective.
And the public markets are not unique. Right?
No.
Mequon, Milwaukee, and you've been down to Milwaukee. I mean, everybody's been down to Milwaukee. I'm talking about, when I say everybody, I don't mean like every single man, woman, child. Everybody from the city has probably been down there to see it, to look at it.
In fact, we make it a requirement with any interested tenant. Right. You know, they have to experience the vibe. It's very different.
I used to work there.
Did you?
For a real estate company.
Okay.
Not at the public market in Milwaukee, at your public market.
Oh, yeah, you're
right. Inside the building. I remember.
We actually did a TV show in there. And I remember they used to host some events in there. That's a cool. I like the old tile. Is the tile floor thing, or did you guys have to get rid of that?
No, it's got
to
go.
Because that was really cool. I really loved that tile floor they had there.
Yeah, are you keeping that? No. Are you keeping that? No. I mean, but you kept the framework, right? And it's the model is not dissimilar to Milwaukee, right?
It's the exact same square footage. And so we did keep the building. I mean, that's what makes this, that's what makes it possible, right? The cost for new construction is very expensive. Right. And so when you can keep the shell and kind of build around it, it brings the
cost
down quite a bit.
Got the balconies, keep the balconies in there and everything?
No.
That's gone too.
Brian, what is a public?
Is my office still there? Or you keep my office?
I had my campaign office there one time. What is the public market?
There's a lot of definition. A lot of misperceptions, right?
I know.
And you know, we always say there's a difference between a food court and a public market. Right. A food court is what you see at the mall. It's just a bunch of restaurants. And the most successful public markets internationally have some of that, but then it's a lot of your food product. So fresh meats, cheeses, wines, breads, things of that nature. So it's it's a hybrid between a grocery store and prepared food that you consume on site.
They had a great food mart at the old downtown mall. I used to go to it all the time. I think they're on a regular basis.
The public market,
Martin
though,
Julius, Big Cookies.
The public market would be, unlike a festival or Hy-Vee or something like that, individual entrepreneurs would be manning their booths. It's their product.
Yeah, exactly right. So we're going to have probably right around 20 tenants. You know, walls can move and shift as folks need it. And then we'll have other pop-up programming throughout the year that will give opportunity to folks that come in, you know, maybe for a week or a day. And you know, it's really driving that entrepreneurial spirit. And how do you get folks to go from maybe a small mom-and-pop shop concept or a cottage industry producer that works out of their basement into something full-time and permanent?
So it's giving them a great opportunity, huh?
It does. And part of it comes with training, the programming that occurs in the space. And, you know, and I think that's what really sets our market apart from others. We're planning over 300 event days. And that's anything from yoga in the morning to a cribbage tournament to cooking classes and really working with maybe some of our youth in our community. Can we bring them to the farmer's market and buy the produce and bring them back to the facility, teach them how to cook? So it's really about partnerships and community.
Wow. Wow. That's cool. I just remember chasing a Williams-Sonoma years ago for the cooking. I mean, I think people love to cook. I mean, I'm one of them, and I got so much to learn. But you get those quality products that are either homegrown or from the farmer's market.
Yep.
And, you know, that's a cool concept. I'm not sure I knew that. How's your fundraising going? I mean, I'm in a capital campaign right now, right? Mm-hmm. And I actually sent you a letter on that. You know, your what was your goal? 17 or 15, 12? I forgot what it was.
You know, like just about every campaign under the sun, we started out at one place and ended up in another. But, you know, we started out at 12.5. We're at 18.3 right now. You know, these projects are hard. Costs are up.
That's the cost. I was going to say the cost. Mm-hmm. And how are you tracking on the passion?
Yeah, so we had a good week this week, too, you know, with a couple of new pledges. Right now, we're right around 13.5 total. And you know, a lot of projects like this, they'll break ground and they'll get started, and you close that gap with financing and continue to raise until it's paid off. So
isn't there kind of like a make or break nut to something like that? Like a certain percentage, is it like 60% or something before you can dig a hole, they say?
I mean, a lot of folks will like to be at 50% before they go public. You know, now to dig the hole, that can vary. It depends if you've got a revenue model associated with your space. In our case, we do.
Okay.
So you can get away with that. My commitment on the project I'm working on right now is $12 million, every penny in the bank before we break ground.
Yep.
And that's the commitment we made. You don't really finance a homeless shelter. It's not a lot of revenue, right? You guys mind paying rent? So, I mean, and that's the commitment. And we're doing great. I mean, but I just talk about the community, how great they are in terms of donating, but how competitive it is. And competitive in a really good way. But, you know, somebody comes and you want, let's say $100,000, and I'm there saying, look, we want to do something here at the community shelter. Somebody in there, I want to do something for the Children's Museum, and somebody, I want to do it for the public market. They're all good. They're all going to help Green Bay. They're all engaging the youth. They're all things that are going to be down to the future, and they've got to decide. And, as somebody said to me, you know, there's three asks in one wallet, and I get that.
You know, and I remember I was at a conference one time, and this saying always stuck with me. There's no shortage of money. There's just a shortage of good projects. And I think Green Bay is the opposite of that, right? I think we have so many good projects, good ideas, good people behind them, that it is very competitive and hard.
Would you have any interest in taking the statues from the Heritage Trail and putting them in front of your public market?
Not enough space, but we have a lot of other great, great locations.
I told Brian we weren't going to talk about the statues.
Oh, sorry. But, did you really? Okay. Did you really?
Yeah. All right.
Oh, sorry about that, Brian.
You were eating brownies, I think.
They're starting to kick in. The public market, the timing on that, Brian, you talked about, this is, like you said, this is about 4 years. Yeah, over 4 years, really, that you've been working on this.
Yeah, it's I mean, now that we've broke ground, we've ordered, you know, some of the basic materials that have a pretty long lead time. We want to.
How is that going? So we've heard so many horror stories from builders and things over the last few years.
I think it's improved. It's not fixed.
Okay.
And you know, we still have 12 weeks to wait on a steel package that we need for the exterior.
Right. Wow.
It is what it is. But we're going to start trenching the new foundation wall in early December on the exterior. You know, and we're going to start some interior work right now to get things moving for utilities. But
you were very hopeful of the draft.
We were. And
you still are?
No, unfortunately not. Now it's looking more like summer. You know, and we've said all along, like, we want to get there for the draft, and we're going to make the decisions we can. Sometimes the funding and other things don't come in fast enough.
Right.
But, you know, we're trying to make decisions that will make this facility thrive for a generation and not just a weekend. So we'll try to still program activate if it makes sense. But the actual complete project open probably summer 2025.
What are some of the job opportunities for people around here?
Look, I mean, as a facility, we're going to actually have, you know, a team that's got to program the space and help manage it. And then every tenant in there will have their own employees as well. So it's our forecast on this is about 200 new jobs will be created from this.
Okay.
Just because of the effort it takes to manage all those individual storefronts.
Cool.
That's terrific. Right. I mean, yep. And again, I just, again, to in be it educational or be it a permanent job. It's good we're engaging the youth because they need to have some confidence
mm-hmm.
that this is for them.
Yeah, I think of the old, you know, Mallrats movie, and could this be the next generation of Mallrats maybe? And
let's
you know,
come up with a different name.
Yeah. Well, look, in public, it's funny. I was asked the other day, you know, what do we think about this trend? And I said, well, look, this isn't a trend. Urban malls were a trend, and they didn't work, right? And they were all torn down. But public markets have been around for thousands of years.
Yeah.
So we're really excited to finally have Green Bay open its own.
Going back to the Romans.
And beyond.
Absolutely.
Tenants. When you walk in, you walk in Milwaukee, there's the tea thing when you walk in. There's the whole fish meat market, you mm-hmm. know. Just a lot of things. Have you secured or have you talked to people? What are you hearing in terms of, I want to live, that's right. I want to locate there.
I want to do business there.
Yeah, you know, so we're really targeting a hybrid of tenants. We want, you know, a mix of the hybrid, as I mentioned, and those that provide fresh products you take home. And then even from there, it's another layer of mixture, which is folks that are experienced entrepreneurs that know how to run a business, and then leaving some space in there for some new folks who maybe have never opened a place but offer something unique and distinct. So you got to have the right balance. We've always said it's more art than science because it's the tenants in the space that will dictate the, you know, the vibe and everything else that goes on. So we've got about a dozen right now at a letter of intent stage. We do have a couple under lease. We're staying tight-lipped on those until, you know, a slow week.
I didn't know something until just this morning, and I'm still shocked and I didn't realize it. I didn't know you didn't have parking meters on Broadway.
We don't. And I didn't know that there was a proposal to bring them back. So.
Did you hear that on our show? Because I just heard that this morning. I have been a little vocal about parking. And even when I was in office, and we had Chris Pierlot come in and talked about, you know, are we this friendly, kind parking utility? And he goes, well, you're not there anymore. I think parking, even though it's, what is it, it's not $8, $20, or that can really set someone off. Yeah. 20, and you guys think, well, come on, you're going to go spend this on dinner. You're going to go spend this on the show. I mean, and you were over. And parking is something, I've talked to Grenier about this, and he said it's being evaluated. So there's a proposal on the table?
Yeah, so we did update our parking study to really get a better understanding of what our needs are in our community and ways that we can improve the way that we conduct enforcement, right? We have to understand that there is a value to enforcement, but making sure that penalty, you know, to your point, doesn't move people away. We want long-term parkers in the ramp, short-term parkers on the street. You know, we obviously have to pay for the maintenance of those facilities, but I'm really excited about the change that we've made, which is allowing people to park for a longer period of time and extend that meter, right? So that way you can avoid those penalties.
Right. I think that's good. I think the purpose of parking short-term was turnover.
That's exactly right.
But there's so many vacant spots down. I just don't know why we have to be so aggressive with that, but that's not really my call
anymore. No argument on this side.
But you're getting parking meters. People aren't going to like that.
Well, that hasn't been decided yet. So that's why I said it was a surprise,
right?
Because it has not gone through the policy process yet.
And then Mr. Policy.
There's a lot of bleep happening in Green Bay over this past couple of weeks, over the past week, really.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. You guys were pretty dormant during COVID. I think a lot of
downtowns were across the country.
So it's pretty cool that it's picking up right now. The pace is picking up. Hey, can you stick around? I want to ask a couple more questions on parking.
Yeah.
You're proposing a parking ramp, and I know a little bit about those as do you. So we're here. We're talking with Brian Johnson, president of the Green Bay City Council, the director of On Broadway. On Broadway, as you saw in the paper today, did the groundbreaking yesterday for a new public market. Great concept for downtown Green Bay. We'll be right back. This is Mine on the Mayor.
I got a cute little town from Boston to St. Louis. There's some that I don't even know, but I'm looking forward to, cause I like my women everywhere I go. So roll on big wheels, don't you roll so slow. Peggy Ann is waiting in Memphis.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
All Wisconsinites want our lawmakers to fight for a better future. But some elected officials are working to strip away our rights, like the right to make our own healthcare decisions or send our kids to well-funded schools. Wisconsin voters will be asked to change the state constitution on their November ballot. This anti-voter constitutional amendment could disenfranchise or create barriers for eligible voters. We're not going back. The League of Women Voters of Wisconsin is urging voters to vote no on the November 5th constitutional amendment.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax on everyday products. It will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris. A better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
I got a cute little gal in every eastern town, from Boston to St. Louis.
Hey, welcome back. My Northern Mayor here on Trucker Thursday. 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WSS, and of course, worldwide on the Civic Media app. We're joined by a man that used to be a trucker, Brian Johnson, president of On Broadway and president of the Green Bay City Council. And
stuff. Well, I'll have to add that one to my resume. Yeah. I missed that gap.
Okay, you deer hunt.
I do.
So I just assumed at some point in life you had a truck.
Oh, that kind of a truck.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about an 18-wheeler.
No, you're just a truck driver kind of guy, right?
Oh, yeah. I've got a few of those in my
life. Okay, you're a Manitowoc guy, right?
Yeah, I am.
Pretty Manitowoc has a truck.
And I'm sure when they wrote these songs, they were thinking of your...
Deer camp.
Your deer camp truck. Anyway, hey, Brian, we were talking about the public market that you broke ground on yesterday, and actually a great turnout for that, and a lot of people that are excited about the public market, as you said, is... just a number of vendors, up to 20 vendors that are in there, entrepreneurial, that have a variety of products that the public can go into, and plus it's programmed. Your numbers, and I saw this, and I know this can't be the right number. Channel 5 reported that you expect 1 million visitors. That's more than the Packers bring in.
Well, not quite, but the, the city.
Well, 80,000 people times 10 games is 800,000.
Well, they bring in people throughout the rest of the year, too.
But I was talking Packer games. But anyway, it just sounds like a lot of people to me.
Yeah, so when you break down kind of what's making up that number, there's a few things. And first, let me start with saying whether it's 1 million, 800,000, 1.2 million, right, it's an impact. But this number is rooted in turnout that we see around other spaces. Look at Cabela's. You know, we've run the numbers on that. That place brings in 761,000 customers a year that go into that, right? Just that one store. So when you start to look at what some of our other neighboring...
I wonder how much of that is dog training, because that's where we had our classes. Because they allow dogs
in
there.
Do they count the dogs in that number?
I don't know, but it was great, because we would go there on Tuesday nights, and the dogs and your owners, and they would let you walk through the store.
Sure, sure.
Anyway, Cabela's... But that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, but you start to piece together what drives that number, and it's, of course, the restaurants, but we have to remember that people shop for groceries there, too. And you have, 1,000 residential units proposed or under construction right now in downtown Green Bay. They're going to shop there. These are folks that come in a couple times a week.
Right. And the programming, I'm sure, is part
of that. It's huge. It's a big contributor to it.
300 events? You're really going to program 300 events? That's a lot. I think that's great. We talked about the Car Museum. They do a lot of programming down there. Obviously, we talked to the Meyer Theater. And even Tarleton is doing a good job of programming. 300 events, that will get people there. That's an impact.
It is. And not every event's huge, right? I mean,
no, I get it.
A yoga class takes a few minutes to organize, right? But it brings in 20 people
through the door. Exactly.
Right. Okay. As we look at that number of people, you are confined. You are in a space. Parking is something you must have talked about at length.
Oh, yeah, great length. So, that's why we did the parking study. It's really to figure out kind of what the demand is and what our capacity is. Jim, from your time as mayor, it's costly to overbuild parking. So you want to make sure you get the number right.
Right.
And we did the study over there, and it said, look, with this type of facility, you need about 300 stalls. Just because of the amount of turnover that goes, it takes into account existing inventory and street parking. But that's the number. And that was actually what we had designed to. And that was just a happy coincidence. But so that's...
Well, it's more than happy. That means you both know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
However, I don't know if shocked is the right word. Nothing shocks me anymore. But I was really kind of surprised at the price per stall at $40,000. I know when we built this ramp down here, it was $19,000. And I expected it to be higher, but... you look at $340,000, that's $12 million of parking. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money.
It is. And that number was driven by a soft pricing from a contractor. It's not necessarily the issue for construction set. They won't know that until you engineer it. But that was kind of the soft pricing number. They came back, and that upward trend is what you're seeing right now across the country.
What did you think when you saw the number?
I had to pick my shop off the floor. And I said, we were originally planning to do this as part of the project, right? And then that's when we said, okay, we need to come up with a more creative solution.
Yeah. All right, 'cause that's going to be important, right? If you expect that kind of people, they're going to...
It's not only important for this facility, it's important for the whole district, right? Yeah. The demand is there.
Yeah. All right. We talked about the timing in your... might you have something, tours or something during the NFL draft? I mean, we're really looking at being on the world stage for 5 days. I think it's a great opportunity for the city.
Yeah, the goal is we really want to button up that facade by the draft, get those bump shots and really be able to tell the story, hopefully. We'll make it available for tours anytime, now until then and after. So, the issue that we're just... We don't know if it'll be an extra, what the active construction site will look like, but we would love to program it.
But we have some very, I hope the Malvas, they lean into this. They've got a great facility there. Of course, your public market. We got so many things to show off.
And we do.
All of a sudden, it's going to be like, we don't have enough time in 5 days. But before we wrap up here, how's the ownership of that entity?
On Broadway is a 501c3 nonprofit. So it is wholly owned and operated by On Broadway, and that's what makes it work. The private sector does public markets, but then they oftentimes gravitate towards a food court. They compromise on programming. They compromise on the things that make it really special. As a nonprofit, we don't have to generate a return on our equity, right? This is donor money, and we just want to see it work and have an impact.
Well, we want to support that. I mean, we have a Northeast Wisconsin listening audience, and we love projects. We had the lady on from the library in Appleton, which is, that's been 15 years, too. I mean, everybody knows that, but what a great facility they're going to come up with. And again, they reuse some old bones, and I think that's admirable. We're so quick to tear things down in this country. So, yeah, we want to be with you on this. So, keep us posted. Come back again, and we'll hit you up on a few other things, too, but we'll just let you off on the public market today.
I appreciate that.
So where are the statues going?
All right, we're here with Brian Johnson. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much,
like
Brian.
Last minute.
Great having you here.
You guys always do a great job, so thank you.
And you drove here from your office or from your home?
They're like this.
I walked from my car.
All right, we're walking to work. All right.
We're going
to
start a quick break. Paul Vandenplas, Wonderfully Wisconsin TikTok will join us, and Terry Barr, Slice of Wisconsin. Back after this.
Copy on me, Big Ben. Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, right there for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown. Come on.
Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cat over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Dom Selvia.
Next time, we'll dive into Kamala Harris's policies with Earl Ingram. Plus, are GOP polls rigging the averages in favor of Trump? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
In America, 1 in 8 women will face breast cancer, and 85% of breast cancer patients have a family history of breast cancer. Don't let the odds define you. Early detection is your best protection. Have a mammogram every year starting at age 40 if you're at average risk. While breast cancer is the most common malignancy worldwide, early screening saves lives. Knowledge is power. Take charge of your health. Get your yearly mammogram and stay ahead of the fight. This message brought to you by Wisconsin Spice, the premier manufacturer of mustard.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.